Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 29. Mat prana rakshanam ananta pitur vidascha. Mane svabritya rishivakyam ritam vidatu. Kagam prigriya yaravochad asad vidit sus. Tvam ishvara madaparo vatu kam karami. Mat prana rakshanam. Saving my life. Ananta, oh unlimited one. Reservoir of unlimited transcendental qualities. Pitu, of my father. Vida, cha, and killing. Manye, I consider. Svabritya, of your unalloyed servants. Rishi Vakyam, and the words of the great Saint Narada. Ritam, true. Vidhatum, to prove. Kagam, sword. Pragriya, taking in hand. Yat, since. Avokat, my father said. Asat viditsu, desiring to act very impiously. Twam, you. Ishvaraha, any supreme controller. Mat aparaha, other than me. Avatu, let him save. Come, your head. Harami, I shall now separate. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, O unlimited reservoir of transcendental qualities, you have killed my father, Hiranyakashipu, and saved me from his sword. He had said very angrily, if there is any supreme controller other than me, let him save you. I shall now sever your head from your body. Therefore, I think that both in saving one, in saving me, and in killing him, you have acted just to prove true the words of your devotee. There is no other cause. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:29, the Lord says, Samaham sarabhuteshu. Name dveshtosti na priyaha ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mayate te shapchapyaham. Supreme Personality of God is undoubtedly equal to everyone. He has no friend and no enemy. But as one desires benefits from the Lord is very pleased to reward them. The low and higher positions of different living entities are due to their desires, for the Lord, being equal to all, fulfills everyone's desires. The killing of Hiranyakashipu and the saving of Prahlad Maharaj also strictly followed this law of the Supreme Controller's activities. When Prahlad Maharaj's mother, Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadu, was under the protection of Narada, she prayed for the protection of her son from the enemy. And Narada gave assurance that Prahlad Maharaj would always be saved from the enemy's hands. Thus, when Hiranyakashipu was going to kill Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord saved Prahlad to fulfill his promise in the Bhagavad Gita. Kunteya pratijanihi namai bhakta pranashyati. And to prove true the words of Narada, the Lord can fulfill many purposes through one's action. Thus, the killing of Hiranyakashipu and the saving of Prahlad were enacted simultaneously to prove the truthfulness of the Lord's devotee and the fidelity of the Lord himself to his own purpose. The Lord acts only to satisfy the desires of his devotees, otherwise he has nothing to do. As confirmed in the Vedic language, Tasya karyam karanam cha vidite, the Lord has nothing to do personally, for everything is done through his different potencies. Parasya saktir vividaiva shuyate. The Lord has multifarious energies through which everything is done. Thus, when he personally does something, it is only to satisfy his devotee. The Lord is known as Bhaktivatsal because he is very much favors his devotee's servant, devoted servant. O Lord, O limited reservoir of transcendental qualities, you have killed my father, Hiranyakashipu, and saved me from his sword. He had said very angrily, if there is any controller other than me, let him save you. I shall now sever your head from your body. Therefore, I think that both in saving me and killing him, you have acted just to prove the true words of your devotee. There is no other cause. Things can be very simple or things can be very complicated. Generally, things are quite complicated because we have a universe full of unlimited living entities with all different desires. Makes things quite complicated. And Krishna is in everyone's heart, has to fulfill everyone's desire. So imagine the problems he has to go through. But he has to try to figure out. The thief, he's praying to God, oh God, please let me steal from this man's house. And the householder is praying, oh God, please protect me from the thieves. So what is Krishna to do? He's all confused. So he has to consult with Narada or Uddhava or someone. Just as Prabhupada always pointed out on a number of occasions, in this both wars, First World War and the Second World War, all the German ladies are going to the church or the temple and praying, my dear Lord, please protect my son, my husband, my brother, my father, let him come back from the war. And all the French ladies and the English ladies are going to church praying, dear Lord, please protect my son, my father, my husband, my child, let him come back from the war. But they're killing each other, so people are not coming back. And then they blame God. I went so faithfully to God, to the church, I prayed so sincerely to bring back my son, or my father, or my husband, or so many different persons. And they're not coming back. So there's no God. He doesn't listen to anyone. He doesn't listen to prayers. Of course, if they would have listened to him, they wouldn't have went to war in the first place. They would have stopped their sinful activities. There would be no need for them being killed. But because they don't listen to God, and therefore, although Krishna is telling them, stop this sinful activity, they won't listen to him. Although he's listening to them and he knows what they deserve, and they don't deserve to come back from the war. If you commit sinful activities, you're killing animals, for instance, then you have to learn your lesson, or else you'll keep on going, killing and killing and killing, and become more and more further entangled in the reactions for your activities. Now, Hiranyakashipu, he asked Prahlad, or he asked God, please show me yourself. I want to see if there's anyone superior to me. So Krishna said, all right, here I am. I don't believe you, so let's have a fight. And then Hiranyakashipu was defeated. He asked, he went against God, and he lost. Everyone who goes against Krishna loses. So why should Hiranyakashipu be different? Of course, he was specially empowered. He got the maximum benedictions from Lord Brahma. But even Lord Brahma has to die. But Hiranyakashipu didn't have enough intelligence to figure it all out. In other words, it was clear when he went through this austerity And what kind of austerity must it have been? Well, you're supposed to be here in the summer. Just woke up. Must have attended a Bhagavatam class and fell asleep and just woke up. So, Haraini Kashyapu, obviously he was quite proud. He was able to go through such an austerity, standing at the tip of his toes for 120 years of the demigods, not eating or sleeping or eventually not breathing or even doing anything. So he was quite proud, and he got what he thought was the control of the universe. But control of the universe is not possible. Haraini Kashyapu couldn't figure it out, that he couldn't even control one atom in the body that he was given by Lord Brahma. Although he was very proud that he had an infallible, indestructible body, but he was a little nervous because he realized, if I ask one atom of my body to do something, it's not going to listen to me. So what kind of control do I actually have? I spend so much time going through the austerity to get control of the universe, and I still don't have control even my own body. So what kind of control do I actually have? And Prahlad Maharaj said, you don't even have control of your mind. What to speak of the gross elements, you have no control of the subtle elements either. Tat sadamanye suryavarya dehinam sadasamu vigna dhyama satgraha. You're full of anxiety. You're intoxicated all the time. You should drink water. You should drink, you should hydrate yourself. This liquor is not doing any good. But Haraini Kashyapu is not about to listen to his little son. Usually fathers never listen to their sons. The sons never listen to the fathers. Therefore, he had to go through what we call the school of hard knocks. He had to learn a hard lesson. But we should understand that Krishna is in everyone's heart and he's fulfilling everyone's desire. However he's doing it, we don't know, but somehow or another it's happening. And whatever circumstances we're in now is not by accident. It's exactly arranged perfectly, inconceivably perfectly. Every atom in the universe is perfectly arranged just to satisfy and fulfill the required reactions that we're going to get. Satisfy our desires, and at the same time, give us the reactions. Now, there's a difference between the reactions. Whatever circumstances we find ourselves in this present moment are perfectly arranged in every respect. Now, how we react to it, that's our desire. If we don't know how to react to it, then we'll react in a way which is not perhaps auspicious, or not absolutely auspicious. For instance, if we come and we hear about the mode of goodness. Now, under the present circumstance, we may try to act in the mode of goodness. Or, if we're in ignorance, for instance, one is elevated if you act in the mode of passion. For instance, when we were younger, and I guess nowadays especially, all these children are at home playing video games. They have those in Slovenia also, video games. So the mother says, get off your behind and get out, do something. So you're going from ignorance, spending your whole life in a virtual dungeon killing demons, to getting up, you just get up off your behind. Then that's called the mode of passion. You've elevated yourself. But that's not the perfection of life, because soon you'll probably be back on your behind again, trying to find out where is the demons again, hiding in the dungeon. Go after them. This way, this time with your new super weapon. You press it and even your computer explodes. Or if one is in the mode of passion, if he can calm down for a moment. Like when Vrikasura is running past Lord Vishnu and Swetadweep, chasing after Lord Shiva to touch Lord Shiva's head and crack it into pieces. Lord Vishnu, in the form of a brahmachari, said, "Stop, stop, wait, wait, wait. O son of Akuni, that you're running so fast, you're going to wear your body out. Why don't you relax? If you wear your body out, you won't have something to fulfill the desires of your mind. So you should take it easier. Maybe I can help you." So anyhow, Vrikasura, he slowed down. And he went from passion. He had got a little into goodness due to Vishnu's association. He relaxed a little bit. Because ultimately, he has developed a headache. His head cracked in millions of pieces, and he died. But anyhow, for a moment at least, he was closer to the mode of goodness. So these things are also elevation. But generally, one goes up the mode of goodness and then falls back in passion and ignorance. Due to bad association, of course. But transcendental is also possible. Spiritual life is developed. Spiritual desires is also possible, but it's only possible by constant practice and detachment, suitable practice and detachment. Because Arjuna, he thought, he realized that my real problem was my mind. My mind means my desires. The fact that we have a mind is not a problem. People try to get out of their mind, and they do. They become out of their mind. But that doesn't mean that they've solved their problem. The real problem is our desires, how we're desiring. So Krishna says, Asamshaya Mahavaho, Manodar Nirgraham Chalam, Abhya Sena Tukundiya Vairagena Kriyate. It is undoubtedly difficult to curb this restless mind, Arjuna, but it's possible by suitable practice and by detachment. In other words, we're trying to learn simultaneously what to do so we can fix our mind upon Krishna, and what to do so we won't fix our mind upon other things other than Krishna. So both things go on simultaneously. And if we can achieve that, anukulyasya sankalpe, prati kulyasya varjana. When we talk about surrender, you must surrender, Krishna. Sarva dharma parichaya. What does this mean? I'm surrendered, Krishna. Don't hit me, please. I'm surrendered. Don't strike me. No, what does it mean? Beginning of surrender is sharanagati, accept things favorable. So when we come here and we stand up when we're tired, then we're surrendered. We can hear what it is said. Accept things favorable for devotional service. And if we accept things favorable, chanting our rounds, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshiping the deities, serving the devotees, making the atmosphere spiritual by chanting and cleanliness and all these other qualities. So that's favorable, and by doing that, then we might lose our taste for some of the things that draw our minds away from Krishna that we've been cultivating since time immemorial. The one thing we want to bring back with us to the spiritual world, and Vaikuntha airplane comes, and you say, "Oh, can I just bring this? I mean, really, it's important to me." You say, "Sorry, it's either you or that. Either you get on board, either you leave that behind and get on board, or you stay with it. You got your choice. Oh, I'm sorry. Can't go. Maybe next life. Got it. It's too valuable. Too precious." And it could be simply completely insignificant. Tukaram's wife, as we know, when Tukaram was going back to the spiritual world and the Vaikuntha airplane was there and all the villages saw her, Tukaram ran into his house and said to his wife, "Come with me, we're going back to Vaikuntha." And she said, "Sorry, I got so many things to do in the house. You go, I'll go later." So Tukaram got on board, and his wife said, wait a second, what did I just say? And she ran and ran and ran to get onto the airplane. Tukaram waved her goodbye. See you sometime. So that's material life. We think something's so precious, I just can't give it up. And we don't give it up. And we follow it around, life after life. Until we get tired of it and find something else we get attached to that we can't give up. That I am the Lord, and this object makes me feel like it, and therefore I love it. But detachment is necessary also. Hiranyakashipu was the most attached, and Prahlad was the least attached. And therefore Krishna had to come to help Hiranyakashipu. Instead of severing Prahlad's head with his sword, Hiranyakashipu got his stomach cut open. So Krishna had to help Hiranyakashipu, or else he was getting himself into more and more difficulty. So similarly, we can expect that if we desire in the right way, Krishna will encourage us and protect us. And if we desire in the wrong way, then Krishna will try to teach us. Now, we may think, I have so many desires during the day. Well, that just shows we have a few things to work on. But if we work on it one at a time, then we'll gradually make some progress, and our mind will gradually become clearer, and we'll be able to understand things properly, and therefore we'll be able to make the proper choices, the proper desires, will become easier as time goes on. Our material external life may not become easier, because our karma, we have no idea, well, unless you go to a good astrologer, we have no idea what is our future, what kind of, what we're going to face. But one thing's for sure, whatever we face externally, if we can conquer what's going on internally, it won't matter to us what's happening externally. It may matter to us that we're engaged in service to Krishna, but whatever problems we may face in that service won't actually be taken as something bad, it'll be taken as another impetus to take further shelter of Krishna. So that at the time of death, I'll be able to take complete shelter of Krishna, and I won't have to see repeated birth and death. As Queen Kunti prayed, Vipadak Shantu Takshasvat Tatra Tatra Jagatguru Bhavata Darshanam Yasyat Apuna Bhavadarshanam. I wish to see these calamities again and again, so we can see you again and again. So there will be no more seeing repeated birth and death. So Prahlad doesn't pray here, my dear Lord. I mean, that was pretty traumatic. My father almost cut my head off. Somehow or another, he just came in time. The message would come 1 second late. I wouldn't be here. So I'm traumatized. What should I do? Do you know a good psychiatrist? No, Prahlad didn't say that. He said he didn't mind because that traumatic instance of his father almost cutting his head off put him fully in consciousness of Krishna. As Ambarish Maharaj, when he was about to be killed by the fiery demon, tears were in his eyes, not because he was lamenting, fear that I'm going to be killed. All I did is take a little water to break my codicil, and this rascal, yogi, is going to kill me for that. Where is the justice? God, where there is justice in this world? I mean, I was thirsty. Is that a big thing? I'm supposed to be killed for being a little thirsty? he had tears in his eyes because he was so much absorbed in thinking about Krishna. He was in so much ecstasy that tears came to his eyes. And of course, Krishna came and protected him, as we know. Now, on the other hand, someone like Samika, what was the name of the rishi who was going to be killed by having a spear pushed through his anus because he had killed some ant in his previous life and his early childhood? It wasn't Samika Rishi, it was some. Anyhow, there was one rishi he was, some thieves took shelter in his ashram, and the police came, and they captured the thieves, and they arrested the rishi. And they condemned him to death by having a spear pushed through his anus to the top of his head. Luckily, the king came and saved the rishi. So the rishi said, wait a second, I haven't done anything bad that I know of. I chant my rounds every day. I've been following the principles. I only eat prasadam. What's going on? Why such a terrible death I almost got through? So he went to Yamaraj and asked him, you know, what's going on? He said, well, in your childhood, one time you took a straw and you pierced the abdomen of an ant. He said, that's all I did? He said, yes. And he said, what is that? This is not fair. Therefore, you're not qualified to be Yamaraj. So he cursed him that you become a Shudra. And he came as Vidura. So, by Krishna's arrangement, the rishi became disturbed and he cursed Vidura, Yamaraj, so he can come here and take part in Krishna's pastimes. But that was not good for the Somukha, for the rishi. You don't curse Yamaraj and get away with it. You pick on someone probably smaller than you. Better not to pick on anyone. Anyhow, we don't know what happened to that rishi. We can't expect too many good things to happen to him. But at least he gave Yamaraj the opportunity to become Vidura, take part in Krishna's pastime. So we have to be careful how we react. The Brahmins, even as Krishna tells his sons in the story of King Nariga, be careful about how you treat Brahmins. Because King Nariga was so generous, he gave away more cows to the Brahmins than there are stars in the sky. Anyone know how many stars are in the sky? There's a lot, believe me. Gave away a lot of cows. Every day. And they were no ordinary cows. They had only one calf. They just gave birth to a calf. They were giving milk. And they had gold plated hooves and silver plated horns. And they were covered with a new silk wrapper. And they had one calf. He gave away so many cows to so many Brahmins. But one day he gave away one cow, and the cow wandered back to a Brahmin, and the cow wandered back into his herd, and he gave it away to another Brahmin. And when the other Brahmin noticed that his cow was missing, and that it was now in the herd of another Brahmin, therefore he asked the Brahmin, who gave you the cow? He said, the king did. Wait a second, he gave me a cow, that cow. It's my cow. No, it's my cow, the king gave it to me. So Carl came, the king said, well, wait a second. It was a mistake. He wandered away from your herd and into his cow. I made a mistake. He said, I'll give you 100,000 cows in exchange for this one cow, each one of you. He said, forget it. I like this cow. I'm not taking any other cow. And they both got angry with each other and cursed the king for being a rascal, and they left. They even left the cow. So later on, King Nariga took birth as a lizard. Because Yamaraj asked him at the time of his death, do you want to enjoy the results of the unlimited pious activities that you did, or suffer the results of the impious activity that you did, giving away a cow to one Brahmin and then giving it to another cow, even if it was by accident? Still, they both cursed you and I have to give you the reaction. So King Nariga became a lizard in the bottom of a well, and then Krishna, of course, came and saved him. And then he told his sons, be careful how you deal with Brahmins. Even they come and they cut you or they do anything to you, just smile and offer your obeisances to them. But certainly don't steal from them, or else you'll have to live in hell. Even if a government takes away the property of a Brahmin, then whoever does that will have to live as a worm in stool for 10,000 years, and all his family will have to live with him. Don't steal prasadam from anyone's plate. No. So even if a Brahmin comes and chastises you or cuts you, or whatever, just smile and offer your obeisances to him. Because Krishna said, if anyone disrespects the Brahmins, doesn't matter who they are, I'm going to chastise them. So before you chastise anyone or take anything from them, check and see if they have a sacred threat. Be careful. Now, any devotee, even above a Brahmin is a devotee, so be careful when you're dealing with the devotees, only the Brahmins. So we have to know how to desire, we have to know how not to desire, and if we desire properly, then we'll make progress, and if we desire improperly, we'll get chastised by Krishna's mercy. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Because it gets so quiet, you can even hear the clock. Yes, questions. Tick, tick, tick. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.